And now we're going to turn our attention to St. Lucia in the Caribbean. This week, acting Prime Minister Stephenson King was installed as the new Prime Minister. He succeeded Sir John Compton, who died last Friday at the age of 82. Sir John had become Prime Minister most recently in December, but that was his third stint in the job. Sir John was the country's first Prime Minister after independence and perhaps the country's longest-serving public servant. Not surprisingly, he was known as the Father of the Nation. Here to talk about his legacy and what's next for the Eastern Caribbean island is freelance journalist Ed Thompson. He joins us on the phone from Bridgetown, Barbados. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
This is a really remarkable story that this man had. It's just a remarkable biography. How did he get his start in politics?
Well, he was actually born in St. Vincent and moved to St. Lucia as a teenager with his family. And then went to school in St. Lucia, then later went on to England, where he studied law in England, and then moved back to St. Lucia. He became involved in politics as a young man in a rural setting, in a rural community where he was living. And that is where he built his political base, and then moved on into national politics from that. But he does have quite a legacy as a leader of St. Lucia. He has been the leader of St. Lucia, bringing it from colonial times into independence and up to the present time, really.
What do you think were his most important qualities as a leader?
He certainly garnered the support of most people, and they say that he garnered the support of the common people. They called him Daddy Compton. He built his political base in a rural community. So these were farmers. These were people who worked the soil. These were the people, the very real people, as some people would like to call them. And it carried him on through because he had this wonderful reputation of looking out for their needs. Then he became, of course, this great fighter for independence from Great Britain, and that only endeared him even more to the people.
What's interesting is that, you know, in the U.S., Bill Clinton was called the comeback kid, or he liked to call himself the comeback kid, owing to the fact that, you know, he was elected at a young age as governor of Arkansas, lost re-election, and then came back, obviously, and went on to the rest of his career. Same thing with Sir John Compton. He was the first prime minister, as you said, upon independence, but then he was voted out of power.
Voted out of power the same year, as a matter of fact, that St. Lucia gained independence from Great Britain. Voted out in 1979, then returned as prime minister from 82 to 96. So
what happened?
Back there again.
Did they fall out of love with him? What happened? But, I mean, what happened? Why did people get disenchanted with him? I mean, why was he kicked out?
This was a time of turmoil, and there were a lot of people who really were not that convinced that independence was the right thing for St. Lucia at that time. So there was a lot of internal turmoil in St. Lucia. And then there were, of course, questions about what would happen to St. Lucia now that it was independent, whether or not Compton and his government could carry out policies that would carry this country into independence. So they thought it was time for a change going into independence, and that was the end of his rule, temporarily anyway.
Why did the folks bring him back?
Well, they brought him back twice, really, because they were not pleased with what the opposition government was doing. They brought him back the second time in 2005 because they weren't pleased with what his party had done. His party had lost two elections, so they needed a strong leader. So they brought him out of retirement at age 81. There was much speculation at that time and conversation about whether or not he was too old, and to his detractors, Compton said, "I'm not running for the Olympics." So he was able to come back, but his health then, of course, failed in 2007. After he had a series of strokes in May. But he was able to come back and at least start his party, the United Workers Party, back into the ruling spot in St. Lucia.
Now, vis-a-vis the U.S., he was considered, an ally of the United States, a close friend of the United States. He was considered pro-Western and conservative.
Yes, he was. He was considered a conservative leader by Caribbean standards. He supported the U.S. Much to the dismay of some of his countrymen, he allowed during the Cold War U.S. military training missions on St. Lucia. He also said that it was important to maintain relationship with Washington because of the drug trade and the help that St. Lucia needed from Washington in drug interdiction.
And perhaps the most controversial thing from an international perspective that he's known for is restoring ties with Taiwan. And I just, it's interesting because apparently China, the People's Republic, reacted very strongly.
Yeah,
why would he take that risk?
About that. Some reports say that he was the one who made the move to break off relations with Beijing and to take up relations with Taiwan. However, there are reports that say that he was actually the one who was fighting to keep Beijing because he had established relations with Beijing. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who actually wanted to keep relations with Beijing, but there was infighting in his party. Many of his party members, actually majority of his party members in his cabinet, split with him on that issue and then went with the idea of aligning themselves with Taiwan instead of Beijing. And that's one of the things that might face Stephenson King, whether or not they will keep their relationship with Taiwan or whether or not they will look to go back to their relationship with Beijing. There's a lot of support and a lot of aid coming out of, especially out of Beijing, out of China right now for the Caribbean.
Okay, and as you mentioned, Stephenson King is the new prime minister. He was installed earlier this week. Just tell me a little bit about him, if you would, in the couple minutes we have left. What are the major challenges that he will be facing along with the situation with Taiwan?
Well, he was appointed acting prime minister earlier this summer when Sir John Compton's health began to fail. He faces some problems. He has some big shoes to fill. He has to keep his party together, of course, in order to keep it in power. Although St. Lucia was led for many years by John Compton, it has had changes of government as voter opinion has swayed back and forth between political parties. So he has to keep that party together. He was able to pick up one opposition vote in order to become prime minister. He needed that one opposition vote. Was able to do that, but reports say that he had to make some compromises in doing that. So we don't know what those compromises are and what that will mean farther down the road. The economy, of course, is always a problem. St. Lucia, as many other Caribbean islands, their economies were based on agriculture for many, many years, sugar, bananas. But with preferences now gone for bananas and sugar, all of the islands now have to turn to something else to support their economies. And for St. Lucia and many other islands, that's tourism. Also offshore banking and has a very high unemployment rate. So he'll have to deal with that also.
All right. Very interesting. Ed Thompson, keep us posted, if you would.
Sure will.
Ed Thompson is a freelance journalist. He joined us on the phone from his home in Bridgetown, Barbados. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.